The following hour is brought to you by MidasResources.com. Call Midas today to protect your future at 1-800-686-2237.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We have Ted Rowe, Executive Director of NARCAP. We're talking about the serious side of unidentified aerial phenomena. No woo-woo stuff here. It's too much of that already with Gene and Chris. You were about to say something in our previous segment, Ted, about Stephen Hawking. Is this his comment about aliens?
Well, sure. And it's not just about aliens. He commented that it was appropriate to talk about aliens, that the numbers were right, that the potentials were there. The probability would be that any aliens we would encounter would be marauding nomads who would rape the earth and leave us all destitute.
That sounds like Independence Day, the movie.
Right. And then his next comment was he gives no credit to UFO reports. They seem to only come from crackpots and weirdos. And, you know, there's this cultural disconnect where, on one hand, they can talk about the toxicity and the danger of an extraterrestrial incursion, and then in the very next breath, discount anything that might indicate that it's happening. Enrico Fermi did the same thing with his famous Fermi paradox. He and Edward Teller and Kopaninsky were all sitting around and over lunch one day and talking about UFO reports, and then they got to a point where Fermi did some math, some deductive fractions, kind of like the Drake equation, and came to the conclusion that Earth should have been visited many times over. Where are they? So here they are on one hand, they're talking about UFO reports, and then on the other hand, where are the aliens? And there's this disconnect that exists in our culture, particularly amongst the bright ones, that I think is direct fallout from the Robertson panel and related activities. If even one of these UAP reports really is an ET incursion, we're behind the eight ball. And it's because of attitudes like that. Dr. Hawking is obviously oblivious to the fact that some of the best reports out there come from military and involve military engagements and radar and so on. Cases like the Minot B-52 case in 68, North Dakota, things like that, very well documented cases. And yet they just get discounted. They don't even give it the time of day. I think it's sloppy thinking. Is what it is.
Yeah, absolutely. And that leads me to another question from one of our posters, Eric the Red, who's posted his question at forum.theparacast.com. And he's wondering, in the UAP literature, Ted, what do you think are the most credible books, papers, or bodies of research that you would recommend to a scientifically minded but open-minded skeptic that could possibly inform him and bring him up to speed on some of the really amazing cases that we do have?
Oh, I think if they're at all scientifically minded or have hard science or mathematics, I would recommend Paul Hill's book on unconventional flying objects for starters. Yeah, I would also offer Richard Dolan's work as far as a historical analysis goes to put it in a context. I would offer various government reports like the Ministry of Defense of the UK's so-called Condine report, which is a very good and large study on UAP, although the conclusions are a bit rocky. I would recommend the Comitat report from the French, even though it was an independent study and involved many officials involved with UAP research in France and former directors of their official research teams.
Leslie Keene's book has some good, very good, firsthand reports by military personnel up close and personal encounters, especially the Chilean Air Force case.
I was going to mention her last and give her the most time because she certainly has done a good job with her book. And as a resource, it is a good resource to open people's minds on the subject. I think, though, if you want science involved, it's a combination of documentation and you need somebody to help you get published somewhere where it get attention. Most mainstream science journals won't touch the subject. Although one of our guys managed to get a paper in to the British Planetary Society called inflation theory implications for extraterrestrial visitation. So basically, if you embrace certain cosmologies, then you have to deal with the SETI aspects that come along as well. So I would recommend those for reading starters.
I think that's a good list to for our listeners to jot down. If you have any high-powered scientists in your sphere of influence, lay a list on them and say, hey, what do you think of some of this information? When you can carve out some time, why don't you peruse this information and tell us what you think? I think it's really important. Have you ever encountered this scenario? This is another Eric the Red question. Have you ever encountered the scenario of a skeptic, a scientist in particular, doing a 180-degree turn in their view on this subject on account of being exposed to, let's say, your research?
You know, Eric's asking some good questions here, and let's just go back to what a skeptic is for a minute here. A true skeptic doesn't require any convincing from me. He'll look at the material and he'll make his own decision out of it, and it'll be based on his skill set and his understanding of what he's looking at. And nine times out of ten, if the material's presented correctly, he'll understand it, and it'll become part of his perspective as he looks forward. And he won't discount it because it's preposterous or an unfortunate interest or something like that. The debunker, on the other hand, needs to be convinced, and I don't have any time for that in mind. That mind has got a wall up that it needs to do something about, and it's not my problem to fix. That mind is convinced, and it can believe and do what it wants to do, like any mind can and should. But I'm not going to waste any time trying to convince it otherwise. I've had a lot of people who are on the fence come off the fence, or at least a little further to my side of the fence, looking at the material. But I've never, I can't say I've ever had anybody who was adamantly against it ever come around to my thinking. So it's not really a good portion of science today. The scientists today were raised in the Star Trek universe. You know, you don't have to, they are already thinking about these things. There are, for every one scientist that is an absolute no, I meet what, a dozen that are at least open, you know. Science isn't the problem here. It's the data and how it's presented and who it's presented to. And as we pull it together, this is what I'm finding very heartening about our work with the Chilean government and now our presentation and our work with the French government coming up next month, is that these organizations of fairly high credibility are pulling together now. They're starting to interact with each other. They're starting to share data and methodology and concerns, and starting to talk a little bit. And this is really, really important. It's a very important first step that's been in the offing for the last 50 years. So yeah. It'll be those guys that make the change. It'll be that effort that makes the change, in my opinion.
Well, another thing that would help is possibly related to this next question by Kana Karras, who's a poster at forum.theparacast.com. And he wonders about the numbers. Are reports that you guys are receiving, are they declining? Is there any sort of patterning within these reports? Are we seeing an upsurge of reports because people may be more apt to report them now? Maybe the subject is getting less toxic. Let's talk about your database a little bit. Any sort of patterns of activity, ebbing and flowing, anything that you can address there?
Well, I wouldn't say the report numbers are going down at all. A lot of it has to do with who we reach and when we reach them, you know, as far as pilot reporters go. As the word gets to them, they get to us. And it's just been a process of word of mouth, putting it out there. We haven't had a huge budget. Dr. Haynes and I have run NARCAP out of our own pockets for the last 14 years. We're getting our nonprofit status shortly, so the IRS tells me. And then we can start looking for a real budget. But even at that, you know, we've seen a steady increase in reports over time. And a lot of people recognize this. I watch our website statistics and so on. And I've seen a steady uptick there as well. So as the general population becomes more aware of this, then we get more reports.
Now, in regard to the frequency of UFO sightings, now, MUFON reported quite a few in their newsletter. Also, Chris Rutkowski, the Canadian UFO researcher, has been on the Paracast on several occasions reported a wave of UFO cases last year. I'm going to ask you more about that in a moment. Ted Rowe joining Gian and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Neighbors, are you tired of dealing with a slow web hosting provider? Well, check out A2 Hosting and their screaming fast Swift server platform. They even have SSDs that load pages 300% faster than the competition. Ready to give your site a speed boost? Well, tell you what, neighbors, head on over to a2hosting.com. That's A2, that's number 2, a2hosting.com. Check out their Prime Hosting account. And get this, neighbors, they're even giving you an exclusive 25% off discount for all our listeners. 25%. And remember, their Guru Crew support team is standing by 24/7, 365 days a year to answer any of your questions. Now, to get the discount, use the coupon code GENE when you check out.
Mike Stenerson from Midas Resources. At no time in history have precious metals been more important, certainly not in my 22 years in the industry. The dollar has lost over 90% of its value in the last 60 years. No fiat currency has ever survived the government printing presses. Ours is not immune. The time is now to be proactive. 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Anything tied to the dollar is at risk. CDs, annuities, 401ks, IRAs, stocks, bonds, you name it, so decide. Do you want to leave a legacy of wealth or debt for your family? The choice is yours. Call me at 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Be proactive, not reactive. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 116.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy. And get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
There are many things the human body can do very well, but maintaining the proper pH level isn't always one of them. That's where AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops can make a world of difference. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps your body do what's natural. Just a few drops a day helps rid your body of harmful waste and acid while promoting health and restoring vibrance and energy. Alkalizing boosts your immune system and can help fight headaches, irritability, cramping, and insomnia. Alkalizing also helps the body fight depression and even bone loss. To learn more about the importance of alkalizing and how you can find life-changing and vital balance, please visit AlkaVision's brand new website at AlkaVision.com. Same great products, but now easier to use and more informative than ever before. To get your very own plasma pH drops for just $29.95, call 800-518-7615 or visit AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Alkalize your body and supercharge your health at the new AlkaVision.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Ted Rowe is joining Gene and Chris in the Paracast. He's executive director of NARCAP. Now, just to recap something you mentioned in the previous segment, you're in the process of getting your nonprofit status. Of course, you're not a member of the Tea Party, so it's easier, right?
Yeah. I don't know. You know, we've had our application in for 2 years now.
So you're not involved in any politics, but it still takes a long time. It's not so easy.
Yeah, apparently. My last conversation with the IRS was very promising, so I anticipate that our status will come through shortly. But it took a long time, and I'm not sure why that was.
In other words, it's nothing personal.
I'm hoping it was nothing personal. But, yeah, we're moving forward now with a 501c3 status. We are a nonprofit corporation in the state of Washington.
So if you are a resident of the state of Washington, you could donate and take it off your tax returns.
Absolutely. And, of course, we have a lot of aviation being done in Washington State, so I'm hoping that there's an interest there that might express itself in some support for our efforts. Our travel budget alone is daunting just to deal with the Chileans and the French on their terms. We have to be able to move to them, you know. So we appreciate any help. Absolutely.
Have you thought of having like a newsletter or something to maybe bring in some money?
Yes. I'm actually in the process of preparing volume one, issue one, as we speak. I'm putting together a couple of things that should be incentives for people to make donations, and I'm trying to expand and change our program a little bit because we've been our own organization for 14 years and beholden to nobody. Nobody's claimed NARCAP as an expense, and we haven't made any money through NARCAP, but we've had absolute control of what we do, and we've been able to control and protect our image, and we've been able to keep certain interests from buying into our organization and gaining control, that sort of thing. So now we have to change and adapt a little more to the public environment and find other strategies to maintain our autonomy.
There was one question here from Han where he said, please ask Mr. Rowe to talk about any reported incidents where onboard equipment has been interfered with by UAP. To be more specific, to his knowledge, are there any incidents where a pilot has observed technical malfunctions or failures in their equipment or airplane and flight data, cockpit recordings, automated diagnostic logs, black box, etc., has recorded the same? What I'm trying to ask is, what is Mr. Rowe's opinion on whether UAP affect only the pilot's perception, or can they be responsible for interference or damage that can be demonstrated with physical, tangible evidence? Interesting.
Well, that's a great question, Han. That really good question. And there are many examples of concurrent EM effects on electrical systems. And there are examples of those effects being documented either by third parties, direct examination, etc. One good example is, I mentioned earlier, the 1968 Minot B-52 case that, along with gun radar detection of the UAP, included a loss of communications as documented by both aircrew and control tower. Tom Tulin did an excellent job of documenting that case, and I'll provide the link later. There are other cases as well. Our technical report 3, NARCAP technical report 3, is titled A Preliminary Study of 64 Pilot Sighting Reports Involving Alleged Electromagnetic Effects on Aircraft Systems. It was written by Dr. Richard Haynes and Dominic Weinstein, who's a member of the French College of Experts supporting GPAN. Most of the effects that we see involve, in their study, 79% of the cases involved electrical systems, 6% involved power plant systems, onboard radar contacts in 6% of the cases, etc. Radio function was affected most often, followed by compass reading errors, and that general aviation aircraft were more likely to be affected than commercial or military-type aircraft. And most commonly, those cases involving concurrent EM effects involve ground UAP or lights. So yes, they do happen. It's beyond the perceptual range of the pilot. It's a physical manifestation, and they have been documented in third-party situations.
Let me go to the follow-up question from Han. All right, we have this other question from Han. I have heard mention of UAP reports that involve odd-looking aircraft, that is to say that the witness reports seeing a plane or a helicopter, but something in its configuration is strange or out of place. Can Mr. Rowe recall any similar reports?
Well, yes and no. And I kind of wrote a response for Han here, so pardon me if it sounds a little bit read out. For the most part, UAP reports fall into general profiles of singular lights, objects with lights on them, unlit objects. Those that appear as objects seem to fall into general profiles, most commonly representing basic geometric forms, spheres, oblate spheroids, or disks, cylinders, triangles, cones, and occasionally forms that morph into different shapes. There are those that seem to morph into various shapes with no seeming rationale. And then there are UAP that seem to display characteristics of terrestrial aviation, like flashing running lights, though they are clearly not attached to a commonly recognized airframe. We have heard of UAP that morph into vaguely recognizable aircraft, but have yet to see many such reports in the data. I recently came across a report from a local fisherman whereby he described putting a handheld spotlight on an object hovering over his boat that looked a lot like a jet aircraft but was quiet, and when it left, it moved towards orbit at a very high rate of speed from a dead stop. So these cases are not unheard of, but we don't have many of them in our particular database.
Let's move into another question here. And this is something that we kind of asked in one direction, but not completely. If time permits, please ask Mr. Rowe to talk about the differences in protocol between military and civilian pilots when they encounter a UAP and how this varies between different nations or states and any changes you'd like to see in that protocol. As we said, we kind of covered the pilot reporting procedure earlier, but maybe you can expand upon it there.
Well, as I mentioned, the FAA really doesn't want to know. Unless it's reported to the aviation safety reporting system confidentially, they really don't have a portal to take those cases. And if a pilot does encounter one, I encourage him to do that, to make a report to the ASRS, because we have access to their database and can work with it from there. Of course, the military debriefs its pilots and everything, all data there is protected by security oaths. In other countries, it's a bit different. The French collect data and train their air controllers and pilots to make UAP reports. So do the Chileans. The Argentinians are getting into that mode, I believe. I'm not sure about how the Peruvians handle it yet, but I think they have an education program and a data collection program that goes across their bureaucracy. Personally, I these are all good steps. I think every nation should have some kind of a dedicated UAP research group. They should be coordinating with other national UAP research groups. I think there should be some overarching authority around the subject, maybe located in the UN ICAO, their International Civil Aviation Org.
We have more of your questions coming, and we have more comments from our guests this week. We're joined on the PowerCast by Ted Rowe. He's Executive Director of NARCAP. And we've covered a lot of ground, but there's more to come. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the PowerCast.
Free from the shackles of corporate America, we're the place for independent thinkers. GCN.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Americans have always been ready to defend, to serve, and to honor those who defended and are defending all of us. So this month, the Freeze-Dry Guy honors and serves Americans with our meat, rice, and potato sale. Our unit includes 4 number 10 cans of quality Mountain House cooked diced beef, ground beef, diced chicken, white rice, and 2 cans of FDG dehydrated diced potatoes. 158 servings per case unit. And during the Freeze-Dry Guy's meat, rice, and potato sale, get 1 case for only $1.79. $79. Two cases for only $355. Or get three cases for only $515. And all come with lots of valuable freebies. For details, click freezedryguy.com and hurry. Sale ends soon. Go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-FOOD. Plus, free shipping to the lower 48 states from the Freeze Dry Guy. The finest freeze-dried and dehydrated foods available anywhere for long-term storage.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Question. Could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer, yes. If you are searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM1 from Terraganix. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganix.com, spelled TerraGanix.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM1 from Terraganix. Life's getting better.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
We have Ted Rowe with Gene and Chris on the Paracast. He's executive director of NARCAP, which, of course, puts him in a wonderful, enviable position, getting loads and loads of cases. Now, I want to just cover one particular question here. This is from Eric the Red, and it's a long question, so I'm going to kind of be brief about it, because by and large, this is something where, you know, he may not be able to give the answers. So have you received any communications, either written or verbal, Ted Rowe, either you or Dr. Haynes, from scientists, government officials, FAA officials, control tower personnel, pilots with distinguished careers, astronomers, NASA scientists, engineers, etc., where they admit off the record they think there's something real, there's something genuine about UAP?
Good question, and the short answer is yes. Well, Gene, I could answer that for you, but then I'd have to kill you.
Well, just get in line.
No, but really the short answer is yes. Privately, many people off the record are very curious about this subject and have opinions about it. And that includes astronomers and air controllers and just about everybody on that list. I've heard from some example thereof who's very concerned and interested in the subject.
And they all have reasons, I suppose, for not coming forward.
Well, they do. They do. And some of those reasons may involve their concern for their image, and probably rightly so in most cases. It's not a safe subject to be too open about. The other half of it is that we as a race may not be able to handle what is already known. I'm a big fan of democracy, and I don't like other people telling me what I can handle, but at the same time, I don't know everything around this subject, so I can't really sit in judgment of those who might have made decisions around this.
Let me ask you something here, which is maybe implicit in the previous question and the response. Do you know of any of these high-profile UFO, UAP skeptics who privately believe in their reality but publicly have to maintain the skeptical posture?
Well, no, not in particular. Again, when you say skeptic, I'm thinking debunker.
Yes.
So in that sense, no, they're pretty entrenched. If anything, they won't touch cases that they can't introduce some plausible denial to. So no, I like I said earlier in the show, if I could get a true skeptic on board, that would be just fine with me. That's the kind of mind we want in the study. But debunkers just really don't have much to add to the conversation, in my opinion.
So I'll ask then, have you ever converted a skeptic to believing something serious about the subject because of your research?
I brought people who are scientists and who are critical-minded closer to the subject, but that was because of their mindset, not because I influenced them differently. People believe what they want to believe, and until they decide that their belief needs to be upgraded, changed, or dropped, they won't do it. And I can spend all the time in the world showing them charts and graphs and photographs and stories and claims and everything else, and it won't make any difference to a person who's already made up their mind. A true skeptic hasn't made up their mind, and they understand that science is a philosophy, one of many philosophies that we use to determine knowledge in our reality, and that it's generally the slowest, but the most meticulous in terms of developing knowledge. So there's a lot of frustrations with science and scientists out there, but, you know, if you do the work, then the science comes right along. You're doing it, you know.
Let's move on to the next one here. Okay. I know we have one person who said, sorry, I'm interested in UFOs, not UAPs. Better move along to the next question. I think somebody's goofing there. Let me ask you about another focus of UFO research, and that is abductions.
Mm-hmm.
And that gets to be pretty controversial, pretty dicey.
Yeah.
Obviously, it goes to follow that if UFOs are ET, it's always possible they came in contact with Earthlings. It's always possible one of these cases involves something related to a real UFO or UAP.
Mm-hmm.
Does NARCAP get involved in that kind of research?
No. Dr. Haynes has had an interest in it over his career, but it's not our. We follow pilot testimony. Wherever that leads is where we go. And interestingly enough, we have one or two cases involving missing time, aircraft returning with more gas than they should have, and after having been in the air than they were thought to be or planned to be. And, you know, the jury's out on what exactly happened. But those are fairly rare. We tend to have more common aviation cases with observations and incidents involving objects, but not the crew effects being more medical than anything, night blindness, that kind of stuff, versus being abducted per se.
Okay, so your focus obviously is on aviation-related sightings. For those who call you up or write you or something and say, hey, I saw something in my car or while walking in the street or something or in my backyard, where do you send them?
Well, and first off, it kind of depends on where all that is. You know, if they're near an aviation facility, we might dig a little deeper, see if there's any reports coming out of the air or even reach out with a FOIA request if it looks like it might be promising. I usually send them to MUFON or New Fork, to make reports. So the data itself doesn't get lost.
Let's talk about your ongoing research. What programs, in addition to working with the authorities in Chile and the people in France, what projects are you engaged in now that you feel might bring some fruit to your investigation?
Well, part of it is the participation with these teams. We have a GPAN, the French team, is holding a closed workshop next month, and we submitted a paper for their approval, which we did receive, and now we get to present that at their workshop. So participating in the global discussion around this is really, really important. As an administrator of the organization, I don't run the science. I'm a team administrator. I think it's very important for us to develop these relationships and to focus a lot on what makes science move in the larger culture versus particular science projects. I'm working on some papers right now that are kind of addressing this idea that more needs to be done at a global level and to try and address the questions around the extraterrestrial hypothesis, because all of these organizations, whether it's the French or the Chileans or the Argentinians, the Peruvians, and even us, are constantly assailed with this question of, do you think they're ET? And we need an answer for that. The world needs an answer for that. So we're working a bit on how to make a proper statement there that might be of some help in further conversation. So those are just some of the things on the table that we're kicking around right now.
What portion of sightings you encounter are indicative of possible test aircraft of some sort?
Well, I couldn't give you a percentage of cases, but I will say that whenever we come across a case that might involve national security, we drop it like a hot potato. Generally speaking, that's handled by Dr. Haynes and his research group. I don't know how many cases he's just ducked, but there's been a couple that we just flat said no further.
Okay, the corollary question then is, do you think some of the high-profile UFO cases might have involved test aircraft? I'm thinking as far back as Roswell. Was it a Mogul balloon? Was it a test aircraft that crashed? And people 30 years later maybe expanded the memories? It's a question I'm going to leave for you to answer in our final segment. We've got Ted Rowe. He's executive director of NARCAP. If you go to NARCAP, NARCAP.org, you'll learn more about the organization. And Ted also drops into the Paracast forums from time to time. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Largest independently owned and operated talk radio network, the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
The best refuel stoves on the market for disasters and survival are Silverfire. Its clean cook stove technology allows you to pasteurize emergency drinking water, cook a meal, or sanitize your cookware with just twigs. A U.S. veteran-owned company, Silverfire's mission is emergency and recreation cooking products. Made of quality stainless steel, Silverfire's wide line of indoor and outdoor models range from solo backpack models to large family units. Cook cleanly and for free. Get yours today at Silverfire.us. That's Silverfire.us.
Harvest Right is the world's first in-home freeze dryer. Freeze dry your own fruits, vegetables, meats, and full meals. With Harvest Right, you can prepare foods that last 25 years, preserving its freshness, nutrition, color, and taste. All your food can be freeze dried, so don't throw away your leftovers. Freeze dry them with this incredible in-home money-saving freeze dryer. Go to HarvestRight.com to see how the Harvest Right freeze dryer works. That's HarvestRight.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
I'm Kay Swirling from KSCO Radio in Santa Cruz. I'm 93 years old, and I'm a big fan of Alex Jones because he has the courage to speak his mind more than just about anyone I know. Alex is just as bothered as I am about all the advertising you hear for toxic prescription drugs that make you sicker, not healthy. I'd prefer to give my body all 90 essential nutrients it needs for life to prevent disease, not compound it. My favorite complete supplement is Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Youngevity, which I take every day along with EFA Plus and Beyond Osteo FX. I recommend you go online to InfoWarsTeam.com to purchase these products and make them part of your daily regimen to get healthy and live longer. InfoWarsTeam.com.
Hello, this is Rosemary Ellen Guiley, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Ted Rowe of NARCAP joins us. He's executive director. And the question I posed to him, which is kind of related to whether they've received reports of possible test aircraft. What about some of these older classic cases like Roswell?
I don't think we're ever going to get a definitive answer on Roswell. The Air Force certainly hasn't provided adequate answers, and the research is starting to chase its tail now, so it's hard to be certain what's coming out of Roswell. They offered that it was a mobile test array, but the dates aren't right. The idea that UAP reports reflect either classified aircraft or maybe drones isn't lost on us, and we are doing studies on drones and drone lighting patterns and all kinds of things in order to be able to determine a drone from a UAP. I think it's possible. I read a study a while back suggesting that maybe Kenneth Arnold's original sighting near Mount Rainier back in the 40s that kind of started the whole media fury around UFOs might have reflected a test flight of German Horten aircraft that were sort of moon-shaped or flying wing kind of aircraft. So I do think there's a potential for some of these cases. At the same time, you have cases where UAP manifests directly over facilities like O'Hare, or they show up over cities, this kind of stuff, which doesn't seem very prudent for black projects to be doing, but unless it's psyops of some kind.
What do you think about government disinformation, the feeling that some of the information being followed in the UFO field itself is actually placed there just to confuse everybody?
Well, it wouldn't surprise me. If nothing else, it's a fascinating laboratory to work on memes and this kind of stuff. I would think the intelligence community would be dabbling more active in it just for the exercise of it. I do think that there are a lot of people looking for conspiracies and folks who are seeing aliens under behind every tree and under every rock. And I think at some point you have to get that under control and really consider what your government is and what it does. Look at how it acts in the world. Look at the competence it brings to the other activities that it engages, and then ask yourself if it's really capable of something that's as delicate as this in that fashion. I I do think that there's probably some disinformation involved. I don't know the reasoning behind it all because I don't know the government story in it all. But that's why I tend to go back to the data itself and just say, just look at the cases, you know, do the work, treat it like you treat any other study, and don't extrapolate too much and just let the data stack up. And you can recreate pretty much whatever is known in the private sphere in the public domain because it happens in front of everybody. So
let me ask you a crazy hypothetical question you may not want to answer. A certain multimillionaire who owns a lot of hotels and has been involved in the paranormal field with grants like to MUFON, if he went to NARCAP, and maybe he's done it already and you won't tell us, but if he came to NARCAP and said, look, here's $5 million, what would you do? How would you handle it?
Well, in my experience, that personality doesn't come without strings attached. And generally speaking, every time I've seen that personality go into that mode, the strings attached are unacceptable. And I would say no. And I've said no in the past.
Has he come to you, the one we're talking about?
Yeah, for various reasons. He has an interest in buying up researcher files and this kind of stuff. And I put a strong no vote on all those activities.
How closely do you work with other organizations exploring UAP, UFOs, etc.? You mentioned, for example, MUFON as an alternative for reporting sightings that aren't the ones that you will particularly cover.
Right. It just depends. Sometimes we'll help with an aviation case. For example, the Merlin C-26 case out of Mexico that had everybody all excited with orange balls of light near the airplane, all right. Of that. We were approached rather quickly with data on that to offer a second opinion. And once we got a hold of the manufacturer of the infrared system and we had the azimuth and the heading and the altitude of the aircraft, we were able to determine fairly conclusively that it had detected oil flares on oil rigs at a distance. And even so, the case won't die. But that's been confirmed by other researchers as well. So we will work with people from time to time and not publish. It just depends on what the subject matter is and what kind of relationship we have with them.
Speaking of cases that don't pass muster or are conventional, are you exposed to many hoaxes at all? Do people come to you with stuff they know to be fake, hoping to fool NARCAP?
Well, so far we haven't had any cases that were manufactured out of whole cloth, but we did a fairly intensive study of the O'Hare matter, whereby a UAP allegedly manifested over C terminal at O'Hare for 25 minutes or so and was seen by a lot of people. But, I handled the photographic evidence portion of that study, which isn't my strong suit, but fortunately there were literally no photographs submitted to me that were credible of the phenomenon at the time. And there were a number of them that were clearly not and were submitted to sort of off track, I would assume. And there was one in particular. I think it was David Biedney. Yeah, one of the guys at Above Top Secret did a study on a particularly promising picture, but it turned out to be a little too spooky for us to get on it. It didn't have the. It had some data markers in it that we could resolve.
As to the case itself, what do you think?
Well, I think that something happened at O'Hare. I think it was seen and it was documented and described, and it was pretty much as described by the ground controller and the various people on the ground. I don't think there was radar data that was conclusive out of it, and that's to be expected in these cases as well. I think it was a classic example of an incursion into a Class B restricted airspace by an unidentified, and nobody had a proper answer for dealing with it when that happened because nobody's been educated that it can happen. There was more backdoor information out of that we couldn't publish, but we have contacts. We have some NASA officials on staff and at our as resources as well that implied that there were safety issues around that manifestation, but we don't I don't have anything I can publish or speak about in public. But
okay, you've just whet our appetite, though, safety issues. But certainly the presence of any aircraft that's unknown out of their control or purview can present some kind of threat, can't it?
If you're on final approach and this thing's hovering off the edge of your runway, you don't know if it's going to move into your path of travel or not. And these things are unpredictable. Nobody knows what direction they're going. Just that when they go, they tend to go quickly. And it's not in control. So, yeah, it's a hazard to aviation safety, pure and simple.
Ted Rowe, we're just about out of time. Would you tell our listeners, if they're interested in learning more about NARCAP, how do they get a hold of you?
Certainly. We can be reached at www.narcap.org. There's a contact us form in there if you're a pilot or an air controller or you want to talk to us. We also need volunteer help, both in administration as well as research. You can certainly use funders and funding help. We need to come up with a trip to Paris in about 5 weeks to get one of our team there for working with the French government team. Any help that any of your listeners can be, we welcome potential funders and volunteers, and we look forward to hearing from.
That's narcap.org. We've linked it over at theparacast.com. And he's also participating in our forums at forum.theparacast.com, Ted Rowe. You can find us on Twitter, where we're known as The Paracast. Look for The Paracast on Twitter. Look for since there are two of them, Paracast Fan Club on Facebook. And our own Chris O'Brien has his own site, OurStrangePlanet.com, OurStrangePlanet.com. He also has a new book out, Stalking the Herd, a definitive book on cattle mutilations. You can order a copy from his site. He'll autograph it for you. And, of course, he makes all the profit because it's not all going to Amazon. Ted Rowe, thank you so much for joining us this week on the Paracast.
Thank you, Gene. It was a real pleasure.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
We are the premier independent talk radio network, the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Henry Ford once said, a man who stops advertising to save money is like a man who stops the clock to save time. Alex Castle here, the National Account Executive at GCN. I have the ability to customize a national radio campaign based on your budget while targeting your demographic. Contact me to find out how national radio can help your business be more profitable at 877-996-4327, extension 177. That's 877-996-4327, extension 177, and help me help you bring your business to the next level.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
The human body is extraordinary. Despite all the stresses we inflict upon it, it still works hard to stay in balance. Thousands upon thousands of people rely upon Heart and Body Extract to help their body stay balanced. This excellent 100% natural herbal formula helps maintain healthy blood pressure levels, cleans arteries, promotes good circulation, balances cholesterol, and more. HB Extract, paired with healthy lifestyle choices like good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free of pain, sickness, and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your body healing itself with the aid of HB Extract. It's extremely effective and it starts working in just days. Visit HBExtract.com to learn more and to read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers. And we've never increased our price in over 10 years. That makes Heart and Body Extract as great a value now as it was the first day we sold it. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Call 866-295-5305 or go to HBExtract.com.